May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalms 34, 4 through 10. I sought the Lord, who answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to God and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. The poor cried out, and the Lord heard and saved them out of all their troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in God. Oh, fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear God have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. I invite you to listen with ears to hear to these words from chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
It is an honor to join you as one member of the many-membered body of Christ to share in worship with you all, to hear from the voices of your lovely choir, of your lovely voices as you sing, to share in this time where, in spite of the differences that we bring, being the many different members required to make up the body, we are called in this place and in this moment to be one. I want to take a brief moment to thank not only you all for this opportunity to be here, but to extend my gratitude to Pastor Molly for the invitation, to extend my gratitude to Sabrina for shepherding me through the process of preparing and bulletining and all of those things. Also to, I see he's taken off, but to Pastor Christopher for taking on the children's message, because if there is one part of the worship service that I could never keep in order, because we all know our kids love to take over that part of the service, it's the children's time. So Christopher, I am grateful. But also, I am grateful for the gift of this time to continue in the series that Pastor Molly has started. I was excited to read some of the meditations, the devotionals she shared with me that she had been using as kind of the grounding for her own series of liberating Scripture and the liberating power of Scripture. And she handed me these texts on the idea of the body and bodies. And of course, as I'm reading through it, we're talking about the embodiment of our lives. And I look at the first reading, the reading that I just shared with you, that came in the devotionals, and it's 1 Corinthians. We are all one body. And I scratched my head for a moment because I thought, this is a wonderful metaphor. I love what Paul is doing here. I love what he's working on with the church at Corinth, because I don't know if you all have read the rest of that book. It's kind of a mess. The Corinthian church always made me feel a little bit better about what was going on in my churches, because I thought, if God could spare enough love and attention for a church with as much headache as they have, there's probably some for mine still, too. But I was struck by the fact that this is one of those moments where the body is not actually talking about our embodied selves or our bodies. It's a metaphor for how we become one through the baptism, through the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful. I love this metaphor. I am Christian Church Disciples of Christ, which means that allegedly our sole focus is Christian unity. We've proven that by two major divisions over the years and kind of quietly shedding churches as we go, but at least in theory it's who we are. So I've always loved talking about Christian unity, rather, as being the polar star of our faith and of mine. So it's easy, I think, to get trapped when the Bible presents us with these metaphors to ignore the fact that there is more to it. The reason the metaphor has power is because of the original idea that is used to convey, the similarities. And so I thought more about our scriptures, and if we were to dig through our Bibles, we could probably come up with a number of examples where bodies show up, whether as metaphors, whether as ideas, whether as the literal embodiment. Go throughout the New Testament. What was one of Jesus' primary means of sharing his message? Through healing. So many stories of the healing of people throughout the Scriptures. Go into the Hebrew Scriptures. Go into the words of the prophets, and we hear the likes of some of our prophets as they wander the land, literally hoping for food from whomever they meet, and encountering people who are suffering, who are dealing in times of famine with the lack of food, with the lack of resources, are watching their bodies being slowly taken away from them during these times of great trial. Even to the very beginning of the book, the creation narratives talk about the creation of the very bodies of the first human beings in these myths. And I can see where it becomes easy to fall into the trap, though, of seeing the metaphors that are at place. Because we probably like to read our Bible at more level than one, right? We all know that something we may have received from our scriptures 10 years ago, we'll go back to that text and it's different now. Amen? Oh, the choir knows what's going on. I'm sorry, the rest of you all. I should have warned you, whereas I am no more prepared than any other pastor to corral the children during the children's message, and that's maybe a level of chaos that even is beyond me, but I actually enjoy the conversation. So feel free, when invited, you can join in. So we have a lot of instances in the Bible where God offers us a message, but we may be able to read it more than one way. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I think I heard some of you all over the choir. That's a little bit better. Don't worry, folks at home. I know you were listening, but it's easy, I think, to fall in that trap, and especially for those of us who are seminary trained, to start reading the literary levels of these stories as well, that some of these healing narratives, they're metaphors for bringing a person out of a lack of faith or understanding into knowledge and faith and understanding. At the risk of embracing the potential ableism of our text head on, blindness is a metaphor in the Gospels that is used time and again to not only mean the physical loss of sight, but to describe those who cannot see the embodiment of God right in front of them. And when they are healed, their eyes are opened to the presence of the Holy right there with and among them and around them. Those who cannot walk, those who deal with diseases of the skin and other ailments, Jesus brings healing to them. And this is a good thing. In a world where these ailments would leave you unable to provide for yourselves or your loved ones, where a disease such as leprosy would find you alienated and pushed to the edges of your society, these acts of healing were sometimes critical to the very physical survival of the people in the stories. But at the same time, we can hear them as these stories of people coming to their faith. And I think that's the challenge. I think that's the trap of our scriptures that we can fall into. I know I certainly do. To look to these stories about bodies. And where does my brain go? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Bodies make for great metaphors, but actual human bodies? We don't want to talk about those. They age on us. They start to get squishier with time, I've noticed. They aren't as strong as they used to be. And we're constantly trying to find ways to overcome whatever deficit we may perceive that we are struggling with, or shuttle off to the side those parts of the body which are not valuable or needed. I am 15 years free of my gallbladder, and I haven't missed it one day in my life. In fact, had I had better insurance, it would have been more than a joke with the surgeon going, "While you're in there, do you want to take that lousy appendix too? It's not doing me anything." We're constantly looking for ways to improve and better and seek healing, and that isn't a bad thing, but it's also easy to forget that we are embodied in this space, in this time, in this world, in this journey. I encountered it the first time at one of my first churches I was serving. One of my members, you know, back in the days of emails, and when we used signatures on emails, and those were our ways to self-express, before there were emojis and TikTok and everything else, right? And one of my members, in her signature line, had that quote that we all know some variant on, that we are not human beings on a spiritual journey. We are spiritual beings in a human journey. I liked that at the time. I thought that was clever. And then I encountered the theologian, whose name eludes me now, who had originally quoted that from, and I thought, that's a clever twist to play with that, to invite us into a level of spiritual understanding and being, to give us something different. And it fits so well with our theology, does it not? The idea of the soul that is eternal, and perhaps this is just a temporary housing for that soul while we walk in this space. I mean, what need have we of these jars of clay if we're ultimately going to discard them? Amen? And that should be an amen of question, right? Because throughout the book of Holy Scriptures, we see these stories where it's emphasized the importance of the bodies we've been given. I love the psalm reading. And at the risk of pulling this too far out of context to be meaningful, this psalm is a story of thanking God for restoration, for repair, for reprieve. And right in the middle of it, what does it say? How are we to experience God? Taste and see that God is good. It doesn't say think and know that God is good. It doesn't even say pray and come to understanding that God is good. It says taste and see that God is good. And how can we taste with naught but the use of the physical bodies that give us those feelings? How could Thomas, the one filled with doubts, reach out and touch the risen Christ to examine the wounds, if not for the body that he was given to do so? Can we pray our way into that understanding? Clearly, Thomas could not. How are we to know the fullness of our faith if we're tempted to escape it into a realm of spirit and mind and heart? But as Paul might remind us, what are they without the hands and the lips and the tongue and the ears to hear and the feet to walk so that we might carry the news and the message we have learned so that others can experience from us, not just in idea or prayer or thought, but through the sharing of the words we speak and that others might hear, through the loving touch, as Pastor Christopher described in the children's message, to show an embodied feeling of love, which is a hug. In an age where we're able to heal so many things, in an age where we can kind of put Jesus out of some of his job, right? Our healthcare is not the best in the world, but it's okay. We can heal a lot of things. How many of those whom he encountered along the way would not have need of him today, provided they were covered by their insurance, with that caveat? How many of us would need the healing hands of Christ because we'd go to the healing hands of a doctor or a nurse or another medical professional who could do that for us? But how can we fully experience our faith, the faith that God invites us to taste and see that it is good, the faith that is shared through the breaking of bread and the sharing of the cup, a passing of the peace that at least in pre-COVID times was often done with the shaking of the hands or in some cases the hugs. We know we're not all huggers, right? Amen? Not everybody in church is a hugger. Amen? But we are called to reclaim our physical selves, to not just be spiritual beings in a human journey, any more than we are to be human beings on a spiritual journey. We are to be people of faith, fully embodied, breathed life into us by the breath of God, just as Adam was created, dust formed into clay, and literally spirit breathed into the life. It wasn't one or the other. It wasn't just dirt. It wasn't just spirit. It was both together. And for us to live in a world where, in spite of the good things that science and medicine have brought us, the ability to overcome the challenges our body may throw at us, we are still tempted by our faith, I'm afraid, to look beyond the body. And being stuck beyond the body means we will miss a portion of this very journey that God has invited us to walk. So let's find liberating power within our scriptures. I hope you'll all go home and start rereading your Gospels again because you were so inspired this morning. I know I have that power. Thank you for that pity laugh. I appreciate it. I hope you all go home and reread those stories and hear them again. Look for the ways that it isn't just the power of spirit at movement, that the God that we proclaim was fully God and fully human, excuse me, who walked among us, reminds us that we also are called to be fully human in our faith on this earth. Let's liberate ourselves from the metaphors and ideas that hold us back and open ourselves to the gifts of God that can carry us forward. Let's taste and see that God is good. Amen? Let's touch and know that God is with us. Amen?
Amen?
Let's embody the fullness of our faith in dust, in spirit, in life and death, in breath, and in hope. Amen?